Yo, 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 welcome back. This is the Finish Works brand. This is Milk versus Food, powered by the Finish Works brand. I am Courtney Douglas. I got my main partner in crime.
What's up, y'all? Josh Collins here, and we are here with
Nicholas Lay. And this is episode 42 of Escaping the Doldrums podcast.
Yes.
This episode is 19 for us.
Yeah, this is a merger amongst friends.
Big old mashup.
Big old mashup. Two podcasts. One episode.
I know. Oh, it's so nice.
Peanut butter and jelly. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, man. We just want to say thank you for allowing us to do this in your home.
Oh, heck yeah.
Made a couple of videos. Nick made us a wonderful breakfast.
I hope so.
Hispanic mixed with Americanness cuisine. It was good, man.
It was excellent. Yeah. It was like a diverse Lunchable.
Yeah.
That's what it was, a diverse Lunchable.
Yeah, that's good. It's exactly what it was, man. Little black beans in there, man, and some
sriracha sauce, some avocado.
You know, it was good, man. It was real good. So thanks for doing that. Good coffee. You know,
great coffee. This was like a secret serum.
Yeah, you're like a chemist.
Was it Rita from the Power Rangers when she make the putties and they went through that little contraption before the coffee? That's what it looked like, man. Yeah. So I was like, and it was powerful. It had some good kick to it.
Y'all remember the Powerpuff Girls when the professor?
Yeah, sugar, spice,
everything nice. That's how Nick looked, man. He had the. I wish I could record it. Yeah, the little. It looked like a little. Chemist.
Yeah, it was like a chemistry
Brunson
setup,
burner.
Man. Yeah, I felt coffee. Like Frankenstein was getting ready to jump off in here, man.
For sure. So you said something that I've never heard of. We've heard of cheese and wine and cheese, but you said no to that.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And do coffee and cheese.
Cheese and coffee. Yeah.
That's a different spin off of that, which is like the country club meal to me. You know what I mean?
Because it's like, my take is, if you hear and read like description of how cheese tastes and how coffee tastes, mm-hmm. they're really similar, and I think they complement each other really well.
Mm.
So I hope you enjoyed it, and anyone listening, go give it a try right now because it is amazing.
Any cheese or just Gouda? Because we had Gouda this morning.
I think I like aged cheeses.
Okay,
I just geared today towards Gouda, but yeah, any cheese that's been aged, I think it really makes the like flavor pop on it.
Got you.
Softer cheeses, not so much, but yeah, the harder aged cheese.
For
it's
sure.
Nice.
Yeah, I can see that because something about the age was good. The hardness of the cheese was good. I can't see that with like a sharp cheddar.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The Gouda was right. Gouda is kind of like the go to, though, in a sense, for like wines and stuff. Like that was with my wife, minus the wine. When she was pregnant, my wife stayed on that. She ate that. And it's kind of pricey, though. Gouda's pricey.
Yeah, whatever you can afford in your budget. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
As far as cheese. Pull out the Kraft singles.
Yeah, or the string cheese. You know, you get you some string cheese with the coffee.
I don't know about the Kraft singles and coffee.
But it was a good mixture. I appreciate it as well, too. I mean, I think as being older now, I'm more of a coffee drinker. Straight, like I said, you know, my man Josh and his wife kind of, you know, I kind of got convicted. You know, they said, listen, you're not a coffee drinker if you add creams and sugars, if you can just drink it straight up. And that's what I normally do because you get the full kick of the coffee. You know, it's just like you don't drink it for the taste. You drink it for the benefits. It's kind of like how alcoholics drink for just to get drunk. You know, you don't even care about how strong it is. It's just like, hey, this is going to accomplish this goal that I'm setting up for. I don't drink it for taste.
Some people want
to
be
Everclear.
Yeah. Some people want to be drunk off the caffeine, though, in a sense. When I say drunk, like just.
They want to be alert.
Alert. And you know, energized. That's like a playful argument in my house because my wife, just like how they do in England or somewhere, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of this. Me, I'm straight. I want it straight. I don't care how strong it is, what coffee bean there's. Is, you know, strong or where it's from, I want it straight, nothing else. Every now and then I might do a little bit of almond milk in there, though. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm straight. My wife, though, I'll give her this. She's had different types of coffee beans, way more than I have. Mm-hmm. Way more than me. But yeah, that's our little playful arguments, man. Like, you're not a real coffee drinker. Right. She's like, you never had this type of coffee. I'm like, I never even heard of that.
Right.
But
yeah. But yeah, I'll maybe it's a couple times a year I'll do honey and cream.
You see, you count on your hand how many times you do
that. Yeah, it's not very often, but yeah, I do. You know, you can't be too rigid in what you like or what you say you like, and maybe things change.
I think for that though, sometimes whatever field of life you're in or your job, that kind of, you know, tailors how you drink coffee. Like for a lot of people in the business I'm in, you know, like the fitness industry or the athletic world or whatever, some people just want the black coffee for being alert. It burns fat. You know, there's other stuff like that. Kind of shifts your brain around, getting you thinking a little more. Some people just want it just to, like Courtney was a mailman, I just want to get up to these blocks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah. And then some people want it to taste like a dessert. You know, and I kind of get that. That's probably a little bit less in calories than like a flat out ice cream sundae.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Sometimes it's pushing it.
But going to Starbucks, because I looked at they're like nutritional facts, and boy, everything's up. But, you know, so I get that too. Some people that put like a whole bunch of sugar and stuff in their coffee, man. But yeah, anyway, that's all the podcast,
yeah,
man.
That's, you know, all, you know,
some coffee nerd talk.
Right.
So yeah, man. Let's go to what we were talking about earlier. We were kind of talking about like
everything.
Yeah.
Secret admirers.
Secret admirers.
Jealous admirers.
Okay, there we go.
Worldly admirers. Secular admirers.
I like jealous admirers.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's something about that. That kind of, and we just add some context to it. We're saying how people watch our page from afar, and they hold, you know, they might hold us to what they know us for and not give us a chance to evolve. So when we're trying to do something like entrepreneurship, to them, it's like, you can't do that. I remember when such and such was doing this back in the day. So they don't want to give you a chance. And then they don't want to believe that this guy's actually putting out decent product or just stepping out on a leap of faith, doing something, you know, that can better his situation and, you know, inspire others. So
exactly, because you kind of sense it as, and what if what I'm doing is that pulling out an insecurity that's in you now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you haven't taken that leap, or you're still stuck in a second childhood yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you might be able to go back and look at me from a lens that I was in to maybe a decade or a decade and a half ago, but you might still be there mentally. But now that I've shown growth and maturity in certain areas now, and I'm not doing things to just be on the front of everything, there's an insecurity now because you feel like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's cool if we're both going the same speed limit, but as soon as I know where I'm actually going and I start to speed the pace up, now, hey, you can't leave me now. But hey, I know where I'm going. You don't. You're just following. You want to see what's going to happen, what turns I'm going to make, and it's an insecurity, and you think I'm trying to compete with you, and I'm not. Honestly, I know what I'm doing, and yeah, it's sad at points, you know.
Yeah. We still keep going though, like, you know what I mean, let them watch from afar, and we still keep, you know, we keep going.
Right.
Who are these people? How close are you?
I think a lot. Some of these people are family.
Yeah, it can be family.
Some of these people are family.
Constituencies, people who are into you but not into, you know, they're into what you're into but they're not into you.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, you know, whether you went to school with people or just people that you've hung out with, and you know, it's like, okay, first and foremost, I'm a Christian now, I'm a believer, you know what I mean? So the Bible, the scripture validates my life. You know, he who was found in Christ is a new creation. All things are passed away, all things become new. Jesus said, you can tell the tree by its fruit now. So now that we're bearing fruit and our steps are ordered by the Lord, we're walking that out. So it's like, man, you're trying to drag me back into a place that I've moved from that now. So why not accept what I'm doing here? You really can't, because, you know, you're working with limited information. You're assuming a lot of things because we haven't had that sit down or that talk, you know, so. You know, I don't really have time to do that. I have time for who I have time for now. Everything is that we, you know, Jay and I do now is on purpose. You know, our time is limited. You know, we make time for what we can do. We try to fellowship in between that as far as just catching up with one another. But, you know, we're focused on what God has called us to do. And I think you know, it's hard for people to like really accept it.
Yeah, we spoke about too, like people that are actually like making moves and, you know, kind of moving towards whatever their goal is, or if you go on my social media, you know, it seems like they're doing all right. So you ask for tips and they don't want to give those tips to help the next person out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's another thing too. It's like, you can't hold all that, the information. Like, no, I help the next man out. You're going to do your thing too. As a matter of fact, man, that'll make you an even better business owner, helping the next man out or entrepreneur.
That's what I think. Yeah, yeah. Because Carrie and I even talked about this.
Shout out to Carrie, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Because he thinks, at least at the time he thought, you know, you should be like that, like kind of really safeguard your information.
Yeah.
And I'm of the opinion there is no competition, because most people aren't going to do what you've done. People don't have the grit or the perseverance to do what you've done.
Yeah.
And if they ask you for information, good. But if they don't, then that's fine too. Because
that's true.
I just watched this video. I don't know. Trolling on LinkedIn. But there's this guy. I don't know why I was watching it. But he did have a good point. It was like, don't give away stuff for free, because people won't use it anyways. You know, mm-hmm. You can count it off as charity, but they don't put the work in for it. So maybe if you got that for free, you wouldn't be where you're at now anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It would be for easier to take it for granted.
For sure.
But there is a certain tipping point where it's like, you can really mentor someone and lead them, help them, like lead them down like the right path so they don't mess up. You kind of pay it forward or pay it back.
Yeah. If the ball is already rolling and we're just like, hey, we probably can save some money instead of going, you know, get these shirts here. I see what you're doing. You're getting these shirts locally, you know. Can you just give us a tip?
Yeah, where's the well at?
Yeah, like we, you know, so yes. Now, if you're like beginning and you just, hey, man, how you do this? How you do that? And, you know, you're asking, but you're not really trying to put in the work. Absolutely. Then that's different.
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference. You hit on something that I believe is more people are willing to help you out once you've already started.
For sure.
Because no one wants to baby you. No one wants to mess with like this human toddler.
They don't want
to
coddle you.
Yeah. Exactly. They want someone who shows initiative and just can get kind of, you need to just tilt them in the right direction, you know, just change the trajectory just a little bit and they're good. And not a full like person that's, you're undertaking this huge project with this person. So I think that's a whole lot easier.
We spoken about that. And, you know, we've had some people, we know some really successful businessmen, and, you know, we don't want to ask them, like, hey, can you invest in us? We don't have nothing. So we've both said, like, before we're at, and we're just at the beginning, but, like, before we
I'll
even
do
got
it
here,
for you. Hey, any successful businessman that want to invest in
there
these
you go.
Handsome young men in their great Finish Works brand, please do so immediately. Yeah,
for sure. For
they
sure.
deserve it.
For sure. Thank you. You know, but we wanted to show them like, hey, this is what we did on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We can definitely use some help, whether it's just a platform or heck, or a retweet, or, you know, we're not even necessarily asking for dollars right now, man. Because there's so much stuff we can do on our own. And I know that. And Courtney, he went down to Evansville a couple of weekends ago, if I'm not mistaken. A couple weeks ago. And, you know, he was talking about somebody that would like to invest. And I hear that stuff, and I'm, like, excited that, like, somebody is just willing to even think about giving us a chance. But in my head, I've been around enough business guys, and it's really just me, like, kind of eavesdropping in a sense because I'm hungry. I'm like, all right, how do they do this? A lot of those guys, those millionaires, and they're multi-millionaires, they don't want to coddle you. They want to see what you're doing on your own, and then maybe down the line, they'll invest or stuff like that. So I'm like, I don't want to ask somebody to hold my hand, and I haven't done nothing. Like, well, this is where I'm at.
Right, because it was my brother-in-law that looked at what we were doing. Now, before this evolved into the Finish Works brand, it was something else. I remember when I was living in Evansville and he was living in Evansville, you know, with my sister-in-law and the family and on my wife's side. He seen what I was doing. I was always spewing out ideas. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then, you know, seeing him last weekend or the weekend before that, here, this is what I have now. So when he seen the website, which is complete, but we're getting ready to release that Black Friday-ish soon. He's seen everything now. He's seen like, hey, we got all the paperwork. We're legit. We can do this. He's in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, send me your business plan. I want to dust some things up. I have some investors because, you know, now I'm not going to go into his net worth though, but we, it's safe to say, you know, half a mil, and then some of his sponsors are millionaires as well too. So it's just simple things like that. How much are you investing in your project before you introduce mm-hmm. it to somebody else? You know what I mean? And now that we have that footing and it's a big weight off of Josh and our shoulders now, you know, now we're ready to really make moves. So the trepidation has left a little bit. Only thing that I have trepidation wise is just really doing like a practice run of maybe putting an order in. So that way when they do come in, I'm not running all over the house trying to do this. I can just have everything in one spot. I know what to do. I know how to print out a label. I know how to just get it to you. That's my main focus. So yeah, you know.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, faith without works is dead. So I just want to do as much as I can that I believe I can.
Yep.
And if someone along the way wants to help, cool. Also, too, because doing what I'm doing, I've not the brand, but like my main job, my main source of, you know, income. People want to invest and sometimes they want to change what you are doing. Mm-hmm. And it's another podcast. I'm not going to say their name, but it's another podcast that I like the route they did. There's so many brands that wanted to invest in them. They said no. And now they have one of the biggest, until someone else came along and said, y'all do what y'all do, keep this, we'll give you this. And now they have one of the biggest, podcasts on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they stay to themselves. I don't agree with the stuff they do, but I'm inspired by
the persistence.
The consistence. And in a sense, that is faith. Like, no, this is how we're doing, and we have a lot of followers just doing this. What can you offer? You know what I mean? They counter by saying, oh, you have the money, but what can you offer besides the money? Because we got the followers, and that's what you guys really want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Y'all want the recognition. Y'all want these followers that don't know anything about you guys so you can get more millions or whatever. You know what I mean? So, and that's a cool thing about 2018 on to the next year. Like, people that have not been to school, people that don't know anything about the industry, like, can hop in and start making, you know, leeway. And you can kind of tell these big corporations, like, hey, I got 500,000 followers on my own without any help. I don't want to change a thing.
Right. I don't really need your advertisements, you know, because I kind of got the Rubik's Cube. I don't have all the sides colored, but I got at least three of the sides already colored of this Rubik's Cube. So,
and that's a cool thing about where we're at, man. Like, mm-hmm. this climate we're in, like, people, we're not in a studio. We're at my man Nick Lay's crib.
Be in the kitchen on the podcast. You just have to have the mindset and the determination to just really go out and just do it. You just gotta really grind out here. You know what I mean? Like, it's just who cares what people are gonna talk regardless, man. You just, you know, when God puts something on your heart for you to do it, man, you just go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't look back, you know. You just trust in what the process is gonna be for, you know, his will for your life and push forward and, you know, let the chips fall, you know, where they may.
Speaking of will for your life, we spoke about like a 5 to 10 year plan. You know, it's kind of like jokingly, but I was kind of serious. And I think it's a good deal. And just the collaboration, the bonding, the talks, you know, the fellowship of just rubbing ideas off each other is that I'm all for that. I love that. It's like, man, you pretty smart in it over here, Nick. I never thought about this. Or Cordy, I never thought about that, man. I don't know. Let's do something. Let's invest in each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's investing in the two communities, investing into each other. That's a, you know, we're just building a link, you know, a link of people to make these ideas. I didn't want to say them on, you know, on the air, because I, you know.
Yeah, we'll keep those under tuck though. Yeah. But, you know, just breaking boundaries, you know, and really collaborating and looking past all the material things and just looking, you know, beyond.
You need people to believe
categories.
In you, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Believe in your interests and stuff like that. You Nick, you believe in coffee to the point where I'm viewing coffee a different way. For real. And it's facts, too.
Yeah, I'm asking questions now.
I'm glad I can be that infectious.
Man, like, there's just stuff that you can, you just need, you know, people need people to believe in them and be honest, like, this ain't going to work out.
Right.
And sometimes when people say that, it still might work out.
I was going to say, because it kind of, well, the naysayers that you've had in your life, the people you said, family or friends or high school people that you used to know, have you found that you kind of need to cut them out of your life?
Oh, absolutely.
And have you done that? Have you elevated your friends?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the remedy to doing that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say you really have to really define cutting off, though. We still love them. We keep them around, though. But as far as I don't, you know, I think the Bible says you don't cast your pearls before a swine.
Mm-hmm.
So you,
yeah, that's a big one, isn't
it? Yeah. So you basically keep what excites you. You share that with people who also believe in it and excited about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I shared that with my brother-in-law because he's excited. Like, I want to see you do well. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, for us, like you said it earlier, there's no competition. Josh and I, we are in a class of our own. Like, if I'm in the classroom, there's a role of Courtney's, there's a role of Josh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we don't mind being part of the Jackson Five. I don't mind being Tito, Jackie, or Jermaine, or Marlon. I don't have to be Michael and, you know, do the spin moves and dance and all of that, man. I can be hitting the bongos in the back like Marlon, or hitting the drums, or being behind the camera. You know what I mean? Because
exactly,
we want a team. We want to be able to build something and have stability. So, you know, at the end of the day, bouncing ideas off of one another, this helps bring stability, this helps take care of our families, and this helps push a message, you know. So if you're about that, then we welcome you, and then we can share that information with you. But if you're a naysayer, then all we can talk about is, you know, things on the outside, you know, mm-hmm. sports, weather, things of that nature.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
as far as what we're talking about business wise, I'm gonna have to, you know, do the Heisman polls on you and keep you out of bay.
What about you, Nick? Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Naysayers?
Yeah.
Sort of, but I'm really good at isolating myself and keeping my ideas to myself.
Nice.
And just kind of doing my own thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't like to be vulnerable, I guess, when it comes to my ideas. Mm-hmm. So I really work them out and hash them out in my head. Maybe I'm more of a thinker than a doer, and that's at my own detriment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get better at just going. Just... because any ideas I've shared with you recently,
mm-hmm.
I haven't pondered or kind of overthought. I just kind of shoot them out there and like, well, let's see what sticks, because I need to be more in action and less in, you know, pondering and stewing and thinking about things too much.
But what you're doing is you're using discernment, which is a gift from God. As you know, you don't have to touch fire to know that it's hot. You know what I mean? Like, I know who to share this with and who not to share this mm-hmm. with, because you're going to look at body language, you're going to look at facial expressions. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so excited about this. You know, it's like, at one point, my wife wasn't really on board with the Finished Works brand
mm-hmm.
until she seen everything come into fruition. So when she seen the first video that Jay and I did, that's on our page at the Finished Works brand at Instagram, if y'all want to check that out, scroll all the way down. The first video that we did, she said, okay, now I get it. Mm-hmm. Now I see what you're so passionate about. It's kind of like, I think there's a backstory. I don't know the full thing, but I know I can scratch the surface on it. It's like KFC, you know, his wife was, everybody makes chicken. What's going to be different about yours? But he practiced so much on different recipes that made his distinctive
mm-hmm.
and he believed in it, and he was frying it in his house, and then it got big in his house, and he went to a restaurant, and then it, you know, he just took over America and it went around the world. You know what I mean? So anybody can fry chicken, though, but what are you going to bring different to it? You know what I mean? So, and she came around at the end of the day as well, too. Like, now I get it. So some people you can't always introduce every ingredient separately. You know, like, you bake a cake, you can't have just egg, milk, sugar, salt, and all those ingredients. Like, people will taste it once you mix everything together and then bake it. Now mm-hmm. I see what you were doing, but at the beginning process,
that's a really good way of looking at it.
You didn't like it at first, having the salt and everything separated by itself. So now it's easier to taste. So, yeah.
So would you say you guys are each other's accountability partner?
Absolutely.
Would you say that's more important, or are you guys looking for mentors or outside people to kind of learn from?
I think it's important. It's definitely important. And I think the mentors we do have, you know, like KB and Mr. Cruz, who I, you know, I, they're just guys I can just ask a question to and they'll get back to me when they can, are important. Because those guys are, they're successful at mm-hmm. what they're doing now. They're way older than us. You know what I mean? And they're wise counsel. Like in the book of Psalms, Psalms 1, you know, seek wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And those are guys, that they're not going to spread, you know, we're talking about, you know, kind of isolating our ideas from the people we know. Like, they're not going to spread. They're going to tell a yay or nay or what they think. Or they might say yay, but this might work for you because of who you are. You know what I mean? Like, they're that I open. So yeah. All that. And then I can always bring that back to Courtney. Like, man, I don't. Look, this is what such and such said, man. This, it's not a good idea. Say what he says. And, you know, we're going to make our own decision. And they know that, too. But they're going to, you know, it's important to get their advice, too.
Right, because they're going to say, well, yeah. You can't say, well, you came to us. We gave you an honest answer. Now yeah. It's up to, it's in the balls in your court of what you're going to do. So yeah. When Jay comes to me like, hey, I got this counsel from this individual. Now, as Josh is my brother in the Lord as well, too, I'm like, all right. I trust him enough to know that he's using his discernment and what God has given him to really decipher through all of that. That way I can look at what he's saying. That makes sense. Let's go ahead and readjust some things. That way we're not putting the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. That way we can make something that is presentable to the public when we get ready to launch and present now. You know what I mean?
At the same time, too, though, I am in the back of my mind when I'm asking, if I ask them anything, also know there is a generation gap.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, we're in this era, man, this climate where you can do a podcast from the kitchen and be okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Or your phone.
Or, you know, you don't have to go to the studio. So things are a little different. That alters the path, you know.
But principles are the same.
Oh, absolutely. The foundation stays the same. You built it on a foundation, but the path can be slightly altered.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can take a street. Or you can take you don't have to take the same street to get to the main street.
And you can own it.
Absolutely. You definitely can own it now.
Like this.
You know what I mean?
Like you said, I mean, literally and in a more, not metaphysical, but like a proverbial way, it's like you can own this podcast instead of having producers or anything.
Yeah.
I'm my own producer. I can just talk about whatever.
It's hard
I want.
For me to even think about that because that's what people is doing. Like, man, he's paying for it. I think of like rappers and just musicians in general that pay for an engineer, pay for studio time, you know, all this equipment. And now you just close the closet and make music.
Exactly.
You're your own engineer, or you can get your homeboy that's interested, your homeboy, your homegirl, you know what I mean? And you download it to your PC mm-hmm. or your iPhone now.
Exactly.
Hit a button, it goes to SoundCloud or whatever platform you're using. Back in the day, man, because I watch a lot of the older guy. I don't really watch too many new or listen to. I don't at all. I don't listen to like new podcasts. I only listen to like two or three, and that's enough for my everyday life. Mm-hmm. But they're like older, and they talk about like, man, if I can do it this the way y'all doing it now, I would have been here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it is more saturated
for sure.
So you got it.
That's the thing.
I think personally, that's where grit comes in and just sticking to it.
I was about to say, so do you think it's harder now? Because that was a question somebody asked on another podcast. It was an older guy that's been doing it for a long time. Then he has a younger guy. Do you think that's harder?
I would say so, probably, in my own opinion, because mm-hmm. once you, it's not.
Because it's oversaturated?
It's harder on the back end. Because the front end to get to a studio was really hard. You had to, you know, we'll take rappers. You had to be freestyling in the streets and hustling and mixtapes and, you know, all this other things that go along with old hip hop. Then you got in the studio.
Yeah.
Then someone would maybe push it out for you.
Yeah.
Whereas you're in the studio, you're producing it. It's right here, right now. And you have it and you control it. Then you push it out. Then you have to keep pushing it out and keep improving your craft instead of improving your craft. Beforehand, you improve your craft now, then it gets incrementally better.
There's a guy named Homage that we always use his beats, but I'm inspired by his grit. It's he puts something out every day, and I forgot the number, but he said, man, I've already done, you know, he was in the hundreds for his beat making, and the year's not even over.
That is one heck of a task.
Yeah, and like he's doing well, he's traveling, but like he's a one man team. It's just him. And his wife, And so two person team. But I'm encouraged by that. That's the era we're in, man. You just got to put something out. And he's even giving me advice too, like, because I've used his beats on a video, mm-hmm. and he's like, man, just put it out. I'm like, even if it's not like to the standard you want it, you put it out.
Yep. Oh, you know absolutely. I mean?
You put it out. You can always go up.
Yeah, and that's one of the hardest things that Jay and I dealt with as well too at the beginning, man, because I'm a perfectionist. You know what I mean? Like, I remember paying somebody to do our first set of hoodies, and they didn't come out boy. The way that I wanted them to. And
I don't want
to
disrespect that man. I didn't like it. I was about to say another word, but I'm gonna tone it down.
I was hot, you know. Yeah, I didn't understand. I'm like, man, this is not what I envisioned. And I had a guy at my church, you know, shout out to my man, bro, Tracy. He was like, hey, just sell them. Just put them out anyway. I'm like, I can't, you know what I mean? Because Jay, one of the things that I love about Josh and I is that we put ourselves in the consumer spot. You know what I mean? So like earlier today, you seen us make a t-shirt. I made you a t-shirt today, right? Mainly when you have different companies that put one logo and charge you, I'm like, man, I like stepping out. I like dressing. I like different looks. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter for me. If I'm gonna make a t-shirt, I'm going to make a shirt that I would wear. So I'm gonna have multiple logos on the shirt, and I'm still gonna sell it at a price that's reasonable for somebody. I want three logos on the shirt. That way people can mix and match. They can get dressed with it. This is a shirt like, hey, it's just not something that's something on the front. I'm just putting myself in that person's shoes. I want to be able to, you know, when you support me, I want to give you back so much more. Just for even supporting, you know what I mean? So we got surprises that come in, and you'll see that at launch date when you purchase Finish Works brand, not the Finish Works brand, just finishedworksbrand.com. When we release that, you know, pay attention to the website or the Instagram feed. When we know we'll have some cool ways of alerting people when it's out, you know, but we want to just give back. So that's just where we at with a lot of things.
So, Courtney, this is something that Josh and I were kind of talking about.
Sure.
Have you ever hustled?
Yeah.
Is this your... There we go. Or is this your first time?
No, I hustled before.
Okay.
Wait. I was a novice.
Let's get the context. Because some of the listeners hustle what? Now, you don't have to say what, but like, what is our definition of hustling?
For my definition of hustling is really getting out there and making a dollar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
By any means.
By any means. Okay. So, like, my first time, I sold weed. But I was really a smoker rather than a seller.
Statue of limitations is up on that.
This is like when I was in high school. Yeah. I just did it because that's what was around me. I just basically followed suit, which was dumb. So I quit that because I didn't want anybody coming to my mom's house.
Absolutely.
You know
what
I mean? So I was like, no, that's, you know, Courtney's a smoker. I like getting high. But okay, so now I met a mentor, Mr. Crane, who had me selling. He was like he was in law. So I would just go to random people and present them like, hey, I got a few people to sign up. Basically, if you were like a convict, you had felonies, you couldn't get a job, Mr. Crank could help you out. Here's a form. Let me get your information. And for every sheet that I would sign, he would pay me $25.
That's awesome.
For every referral. So me, I didn't have any clothes. I just had one church outfit. I had a white t-shirt, some slacks. I look like a Mormon, but I had some dress shoes, some slacks, and I had this clipboard full of files. And I would go to the gas station on McKinney and Anthony. It's been so many gas stations, from Shell's to Amoco to BP. But I used to just go up there and just hustle. You know, that was my hustle. Like, hey, I know I'm getting $25, or I would go cut grass. I would rake leaves. I would snow because, you know, I just wanted to make a dollar.
So that's hustling.
So that's, to me, that was hustling for me to really go out and just try to get something because I had things that I wanted.
So I half hustled then.
So, yeah, you half hustled because, Jay, you selling CDs.
When
you came to the fort.
I didn't see
in Atlanta.
Where we from, Ohio. Though, when I heard the word, we say the word hustling, I instantly think of drugs. I was like, nah, I wanted to.
We can broaden that.
Yeah. That was my small thinking, though. So, yeah, I was like, nah, I ain't did it like that. But, yeah, I was terrible at that. But, yeah, I babysat I used to live in Atlanta, man. I was a babysitter in fourth, fifth, sixth grade. So illegal.
What?
Yeah. But I'm going to talk about it. Oh, yeah, illegal. I was a babysitter, a male at that. I was babysitting a girl and a little dude. And their mom, yes, was a dancer.
Oh, okay.
If you know what I mean. A nighttime dancer.
Was it exotic?
Exotic dancer. Okay, yeah. And
go ahead and say the S word, man. It's all right.
She's a stripper, man. Yeah. And
oh, what?
She's a stripper, man.
I'm taken back by
and that. And look, they was getting over on me, but I didn't care because it was. I was in fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah, what you need with $100?
And I wasn't even getting. Now I was getting 40 for Friday night, Saturday.
Oh, that's still a pretty good
and
deal.
And Sunday. You know, $40 for the weekend. But I was cool with that, man. It's enough to pay my pager. So, yeah, I hustled there. I hustled with that. I used to sell CDs. When I moved to Ohio from Atlanta, I noticed there was a drought in music. There was a demand and a drought in music. So, my thinking, I'm like, oh, I got all my equipment from the A, from Atlanta. Yeah, my aunt was the only engineer on the block that had a CD player CD drive. Remember then? This is now about this. We sound like, oh, had a CD drive. Bet this is when you made a CD. It took like a whole hour, to make one CD for like 15 songs. You know what I mean? But I was selling that. I sold Eminem. I sold like Ye Ye Twins, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Man, I was making like $100 a week in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Just slanging, man. And I'll say this. And I was like the only black. I went to like a white school. Yeah, I'm about to make bread, man. I understood the demand was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The demand was there. Track meets. Oh, I was there slanging. Yeah. I got an event in like 10 minutes, man. But I got the Eminem right now. What's up?
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You trying to get it? I remember it was the Eminem show. I was selling that. Yeah, so I hustled. I had different ways of hustling. I got a story for us, man. Here is hustling going bad.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work out for us. Him and I, fresh out of high school, we saw $15 an hour in the paper. Oh, we was on it. He was on it. So we were selling knives. I was like, you know, we're in fresh out like a month after high school. I'm like, oh, we can make $15 an hour? $15.50 an hour. I need it. We was working at Panera Bread, making like
$6.59. Yeah. We seen 15. We thought like, man, I'm finna go buy a Cadillac with
Man, that was so hard to do. Sell knives door to door.
Ponzi scheme.
Man, you ever sell knives in a hood? Don't nobody want no knives in a hood, man.
I could not go on the south side. I would have to go Auburn. I would have to go North Fort Wayne.
Mess around and got robbed in the hood. Right. Selling some knives.
Like, I would have to really get a haircut.
Trying to show
up.
Them how sharp it is by cutting up a piece of wood, man.
Yeah, man.
That was a bad. I didn't even last like 2-3 days. I quit.
Man, I quit the same day, man. I walked out like, man, what am I doing?
This ain't it, man. But I was hustling. They was selling door to doors, man. Selling knives.
But think about that though. You only hustle for what you have a strong desire to purchase. So if whatever your desire is, if I want to, I want shoes, I want clothing, I want this, I want that, then no matter what the product is, if you believe that this is going to be able to get you whatever the item is, you're going to go as hard as you can for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter what it was. So you just went out and you just did it until. But I think like once you get older, it's like, I can't do this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't even care. I'm not about to compromise job wise. You know what I mean? So what's this?
Yo, I'm going to say this real quick, man. I just looked down at my phone.
Stan
Lee passed away from Marvel Comics.
Sure. 54 seconds ago, and it's 2:21, and today's date is what, 11/12?
I don't even know. It might be the 12th, but yeah, rest in peace to Stan Lee. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Speaking of hustling, them comics back in the day that turned into a huge industry. Speaking of hustlers, man. Stan Lee, so rest in peace, Stan Lee, man. Wow,
yeah,
that hit me, man, because he's part of my childhood.
Oh yeah, man, he's responsible for a lot of our childhood, especially for those that got into comics, you know, especially if you didn't have cable, Fox 59 or 55 here in Fort Wayne. He had the animated Spider-Man series, X-Men that came on the week on Saturday mornings, rest in peace. So
I used to put pencils like through like in between my knuckles and that like Wolverine. Like that was me, man. Or I would put like my grandma used to kill me too. I used to put like 3 nap paper towels and tuck them in like behind my neck and act like it was a cape. And jump off I was doing all that, man. But Stan Lee was, you know, a big part of that. I used to want to be a hero. So.
I had the bath towel, man.
See,
Blank Man.
I wasn't allowed to do that. So I knew I wasn't even allowed to get no paper towels. I was sneaking.
Yeah.
I had to use what I had, man. Shout out to Ramona Collins. She was not playing that.
I used to jump as high as I could off
washing
the bed.
Washing my towel. You know what I mean? He snapped on me. So, yeah, man. But wow, yeah. Speaking of hustlers, though, man, Stan Lee, he has a great story too. Just, you know, back, I can't even imagine back in a long, long time ago trying to sell comic books to people, and they're probably like, "No, this ain't it. This ain't it." But it caught fire, man. You know what I mean? People started relating to Captain America, especially, you know, the Patriot. You know, stuff like that.
It's full circle now, though, man. Yeah, look at the time, because back then you had a lot of war. Now we have rumors of war going on. Now people are looking for a savior. You know what I mean? So now it was, you know, what appeals, you know, something that we can grasp and idolize. So Superman, Batman,
and that was people. Something for the soldiers, you know, that were away.
Yep,
they would read that and get inspired. Mm-hmm. You know,
Superman saves the day again. A good guy always wins. It's always the fight between good and evil. And then one thing that set Marvel apart from DC, in my opinion, I think we're going to go ahead and geek out on this one, is that every character had a background that you could relate to, from Spider-Man. When you look at X-Men, you look at, you know, Professor X, and you look at Magneto, those were, you know, the modern version of Malcolm X and
Dr. King.
You know what I mean? And, you know, you just had a dichotomy of culture poured into the comics.
For me, it was Spider-Man, because Spider-Man was broke. He was a broke superhero.
Right.
Living in New York City, struggling to help his Aunt May pay rent, who had a deceased husband. Like, that right there always touched me. Like, right. Dang, Spider-Man living rough.
And he could easily go and get what he needed if he just showed his identity, or he just demanded it, but he never did, because it wasn't about that. It was about
the people having something to believe in
and the ultimate standard. Like, to do good is non-negotiable. Like, I have to do this. You know what I mean? And that's what how you know, Jay and I operate as believers. It doesn't matter about what we're doing as far as Finished Works Brand. It's about serving people. It's about producing the gospel.
And it doesn't matter who I am, better. It matters who he is and the purpose of why I'm doing this. Like, this is this good deed, or, you know what I mean? This thing, what I'm doing, is what you need to pay attention to.
Right, because and doing this doesn't get us any brownie points with God, because salvation is a gift. I chose you before the foundation of the world. You're going to serve me, but yet you're going to do this and have a platform to bring other people along so I can reach them as well, too.
Yeah,
you're not in charge of that.
Spider-Man.
Shout out to Spider-Man. Yeah. Who else? Well, all right, time out, man. Before we end this, you know, I gotta have from all of us here, give me your top 5 Marvel characters.
Top 5? Off top. Okay, good. I'm freestyling now. I'm a huge Wolverine fan.
Gotcha.
Who's let live forever, it seems like.
Yep.
Dude was in World War I and stuff.
Right.
Gosh, man. Off top?
Top 5, you on the spot.
Wolverine. I'm going to put Spider-Man's in there. Spider-Man might be one for me.
Right.
Like I said, I related to that.
Probably. No random order.
Okay. Gambit. I just thought he was cool.
Ooh, same here.
He just looked cool. He sounded cool. He's from the South.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
The cards, man.
Flick cards at you.
He was a ladies' man. Yep. You know what I mean? One of my favorite, I don't even know if he's a villain to me, you know, but Magneto.
Yeah.
It's hard. I might not agree with everything he's saying, but boy, Magneto's up there, man.
Got you.
What is that, 4, 3?
Yep, 4. One more.
Storm.
Storm.
Yeah, because for me, Storm was like the first African-American female that I had ever, like, hero that I ever seen. Same. And she's cool. She controls the element. She's from, what, Africa? You know what I mean? Her name was Aurora. Yeah. And then there's some cool people over there. You know, I could be cliche, see Black Panther, though, but nah, Storm, to me, was better than Black Panther.
Yeah. Because she's probably easily one of the strongest earthly heroes of all time, because she can control the elements. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Blizzard. She can flood the entire planet if she wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They always made her weak, though, sometimes.
Not the Halle Berry version.
Nah.
Halle Berry is very pretty, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop.
Halle Berry, you just roll her eyes. And yeah, I'm like, CGI. Can use some CGI.
Yeah.
Use some more CGI.
That was,
like,
in development, though, man.
Yeah.
Nick, man, your top five.
I'm too ignorant to know.
You're too ignorant?
The difference between all the different comics.
Comic brands.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Wolverine. You like Wolverine?
Yeah.
Because everybody likes Wolverine.
Yeah, he's cool. Like, I don't have any arguments with what you said, but like I said, I was always, if we're talking superheroes, I like the Batman story and the Punisher story because.
Okay, Punisher is Marvel.
That's Marvel.
Yeah,
okay.
Punisher.
Yeah, so Punisher.
Oh, one more thing. That was my favorite thing too. Like, they always coexisted. Like, Spider-Man would run into the Punisher.
They was in the same
city. The Punisher
city.
Were running. Yeah,
Blade.
Blade. Or they were
X-Men,
running into
Fantastic Four. They were all in New York.
I never liked the Fantastic Four, and people hate me for that.
I liked Reed Richards, man.
Never liked
that
the
was
Fantastic
my guy.
Four.
I'll give you my
no
five. So,
here.
I would say Spider-Man for me. Iron Man.
I've never been a big Iron Man fan.
Gambit, of course.
I just like the movie.
Yeah.
That guy, but never been. Yeah.
I liked Iron Man. That was my, I just liked, you know. And then I wasn't huge on Captain America.
I like Cap, man. Cap is my guy, man.
I wasn't huge on Wolverine either. I would say Sinister.
Oh, wow.
That was one of my favorite. Villain. I like villains, man.
Yeah, he's a villain.
I like the villains, and I would say Silver Surfer.
Oh, I remember the Silver Surfer cartoon. I did watch that.
Silver Surfer, because I just liked his look. I liked the style, and that he was cosmic, and he was just super duper strong. So those were my top five. Like I said, man, he was, you know, especially being the only child, man. Like, that's all we had. We had cartoons. We had the television. We had, you know, single moms, but, you know. That isolated time alone, man, our minds were, we were very creative as single, you know, as only children, so our minds were rambled. So, you know, we always had the comics. We had things that we could relate to, so.
Like I told you, I was trying to be Wolverine. I had to.
Like, I had the knives.
You had knives?
I had plastic knives.
Oh, okay.
I would get like three white, you know, I would get six though, but I would have, I would do Wolverine down and there, but I would always flick cards. I was Gambit. Because he had the staff.
Yeah,
he'd smack you with the staff and flick a card at you, and the card would blow up. I like the kinetic energy.
Yeah,
that he had. So shout out to him. Rest in peace to Stan Lee.
Yeah, the ultimate hustler.
I hope so.
Oh yeah, look at him. Got a lot, you know. He probably never thought Marvel would be this big. Marvel's freaking huge.
Yeah, it is. Especially.
He probably hoped it.
Yeah, he probably did hope, but like, how can you even?
No.
People out the country, like, wow. Brands, you know, like Sony and Disney fighting for rights of Marvel, like,
yeah,
you know, these bidding wars for certain heroes.
Yeah, go back and Google when Marvel was going broke and they sold all the franchises to certain studios, and now that Marvel's jumping off again, they're trying to buy those things back because now Marvel is basically on the tight. They're like the Titanic ship now. They're like, hey, we can go ahead and get that back from you now.
I like Stan Lee because he always did a cameo in every movie.
It was cool.
Like, awesome. Like, I that's what I like. For years though, and like, for so when you watch a Marvel movie, you always look for Stan Lee. Sometimes they got a little hard to find them. Like, is that him or not?
Right.
I'm talking about during the time where you couldn't get the DVD in like 2 months. Like, remember, like VHS, like it took like a whole year, so you had to really try to look closely and memorize like if that was Stan Lee or not.
Hopefully they got him on these upcoming cameos as far as the few movies that are going to come out, you know. But I know that Marvel will do something big before the movie shows or whatever, as far as highlighting his life and his meaningfulness to the
for sure
to the, you know, the whole comic universe.
He's inspired people, man.
Yeah, he's legend, man. He's like one of the godfathers of comics
for
man.
Sure. He's inspired people. He's inspired a bunch of adults. to be their own versions of a hero, whether it's to their sons and daughters, or you know, just doing something for the good or cause, the good or good or cause. Yeah. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Stan Lee, again.
So we're down to about 11 minutes.
Okay. What's up?
I want to dive back into hustling because I have never done that a day in my life, and it feels so weird. It's like
anything.
As a child,
nothing.
No lemonade stand.
Candy at the school. Some butter cookies.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Nothing.
Butter cookies.
Yeah, that's old now.
Yeah, coffee is the canteen.
Coffee is the first thing I've tried. So it's like getting into that mindset is so foreign to me. Or that mindset's foreign to me. Yeah. Like, do you think that helps you do this now? Does it make it easier since you've already sold something?
Well, I've been renewed. So I now, the way I do it, I'm as honest as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't even feel right trying to con someone to buy my product.
Right.
So I'm honest, but I'm also trying. I'm honest. I'm genuine as possible. And I'm trying to sell a product with a clear conscience. That helps me. Mm-hmm. I can live myself if I don't sell a product. But a lot of times we sell products. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we're all, especially imagery, like, which is all of, that's social media all day. So like we're already, before social media, we was already big on that, like how something looks in a picture or video. Mm-hmm. So like now a lot of times you can just hustle off of that. You don't even got to say a word. People see that, man, where can I buy this?
Right.
Cause I seen this Nick Lay buy his car with that hoodie on. Where can I buy it? That's a variation of hustling too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will admit, I did help my friend long time ago screen and cut and sell like patches, like band patches.
Okay.
So that's the closest I've been, but I wasn't behind it. I just did like some of the legwork, like the screening, the cutting. I was even starting to not embroider the edges, but like sew around the edges so they stayed, so they didn't fray like most, because you know, being from like a punk background, you just have these crappy cut little patches and you buy them online and they disintegrate. But I was trying to make a more quality product.
I think when people say like hustler, they always think about like the guy that can sell you face to face. But that is a form of hustling, which you just did. You helped somebody and then they bought the product after you helped them. Mm-hmm. So there's different avenues you can take to get to the main road of hustling. Sometimes it's just helping, sometimes it's like verbal, sometimes it's visual.
Yeah, but I never committed the act, I suppose, of like getting out there and selling, and it's still like a really weird, uncomfortable.
It's in you though. It's in you.
Somewhere. I'm digging deep.
It's in there though. All you need is a little mustard seed. You know what I mean? A little mustard seed.
And it'll grow. And then like you said, you know, being around us and, you know, bouncing ideas off, and once you
believe in the product in which you're selling, you'll be more comfortable in sharing, like, this is what I have on. In certain aspects or pockets of conversation, when it's time to really present it, then like, hey, I have this as well too. And then it just sparks some conversation.
It's different when you're, you know what I mean? When you're passionate and of a product that you actually use, it's easier. You worked at a cell phone store, Courtney, and you had troubles morally because you know you didn't want to lie to a person just to buy the iPhone,
right? Especially when AT&T was the only one producing the iPhone, or not producing but selling it. Mm-hmm. Most people like, okay, they'll buy the iPhone, but what about the case? And then I'm like, okay, I got another argument with the manager. I was like, okay, how do you expect for me to compete? And you guys are selling black, blue, and gray cases when they can go to Walmart, they can go to Best Buy and go to the middle of the mall and get Amazon the ones now with the bedazzles on it and all of that. I can't even compete. So I can go over here and get it for, you know, $5 or $20 less than what I'm paying for it here. Yeah. I can't argue with that. Mm-hmm. I will go buy it too. You know what I mean? But you're buying it for me. You know what I mean? It helps me with my family. And some people have a harsh people like, yeah, that's I admire you for that though, but I got family too, and I gotta say this $20, so I'm gonna go over to Walmart. Yeah. You know, so I can't knock that. So
is it worth lying just to sell a product?
No, because
some people just want to be known as hustlers.
Yeah,
I don't think that's worth it.
But that goes back to a believer and a non-believer, because you know, you and I can't go to sleep with somebody rocking my product and I lied to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, you can go sleep with a clean conscience, just knowing, hey, I got a dollar in my pocket, but you got a bad product. Oh, well, you know what I mean? On to the next one. But that stuff catches up to you at the end of the day in the long run, because yeah. Now I can't trust you. Your product sucks.
See, and that's why I made a horrible drug dealer. Because I care.
I did too. Like I told you, like when I saw weed, I didn't think the nickel sack was big enough. So I would pinch off other bags of weed to make that bigger, because goodness. I knew what it was to be a smoker. Like, man, this is.
Oh, you was the favorite. Yeah, I'm sure you were the favorite.
I was the favorite dealer. One. It was like, man, Doug hooking us up. But I had like I was a runner like you was, though, from a secular standpoint. That was like, man, look here, I made you back yours then some, but I'm done. Here, take that, because I'm more. I mean, I'm like, nah, I can't do that.
Yeah. Nah. If you're passionate about something, be good doing that.
And that goes back into what we said about the shirts. That's why I give you more logos. I give you a bigger bang for your buck when you purchase something. Be on the lookout what's also inside that polymeller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
we got five minutes.
5 minutes. Well, we can do an outro. First, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to come over here. Thank you, Courtney, for hitting the highway just to do this stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? That major move.
Thank you, Desiree. That's my lovely wife. I appreciate you, because normally on my off day, man, we sit back and watch House Hunters and what's that? Law and Order SVU and clean up together and, you know, other things. So
thank you, Desiree.
Yeah, thank you for letting me.
Shout out to all the veterans out there. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you for serving. And, you know, thank you for protecting. You know, we us Americans, we appreciate that. And man, just want to say thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys be on the lookout, Escaping the Doldrums, Finish Works Brand Podcast, Milk Versus Solid Food. It'll be on different platforms. And look forward to more merging in the future with us. You know,
And definitely check out the social media platform, Instagram. We also on Facebook and YouTube as well. The Finish Works Brand. And be on the lookout for announcements of the launch of the website. Black and white colorways, we'll be adding more here soon. And
I won't do it.
Rock. And if you support and you're not a ghost drive-by viewer, you really want to support what we're doing, it's all in to endorse Christ at the end of the day. So we thank you, bless your families, and you guys enjoy the rest of your evening.
Well, hold on.
What's up? Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry, Nick. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm on the anchor app, man. Go ahead.
Where you at, man? Plug yourself, man.
Buy some coffee.
Escaping the Doldrums, man. Yeah. Instagram. Check them out. Nick Lay, Kerry Collins, we got you. And, thanks. You guys have a great day.
Thanks. See you next weekend. Or talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Whatever we do.